Colleagues, welcome back to The Office. Welcome to our podcast for today. My name is Steve Yass, and I will be your host and presenter for today for our presentation, The Hottest Tech Tools and Sources to Increase Productivity, Part 2. This is our second installment of our Productivity in App series, really kind of looking at different tools, services, platforms, products, and other things that are out there that can really kind of help improve the efficiency and effectiveness of your life. Let's face it, technology is one of those things that's absolutely ubiquitous, absolutely widespread, infiltrating just about every part of human existence. How can we leverage this stuff more effectively? Because this is something that we are using already, so why not get the most out of it? You know, for myself, I'm always finding new services, new products, new techniques, new things that just change everything. That honestly can provide hours of my life back, sometimes days and weeks over the course of a period of time that really are transformative with respect to what they do. And I feel like not enough professionals are actively looking for ways to improve the way that they're working. You know, I think a lot of us, for example, we get in this habit of doing things the way we've always done them. And, you know, 5-10 years goes by and we're still doing the exact same thing that we did before. But in reality, all these different things around us have changed and improved. So in this series, we look at the stuff you should know about, the stuff that's kind of out there already that is having a big impact, that will continue to have a big impact. Now, in today's presentation, we're going to be looking at business services and tools, and I've got some recommendations for you of different products that I use on a regular basis that improve my life. Everything from, example, from finding files on my computer to taking better screenshots and annotating how they look to send to clients, launching applications. Two big service providers I really recommend with respect to hosting your organization's data, Amazon Web Services and Centrum, as well as how to take more effective scans when you're out on the road. You know, you've got this thing right in your pocket. This cell phone is a fantastic tool. So what are some of the apps that we can use to save time in our lives? And using this as a scanner is a great way of being able to, collect that data when you're out on the client side or out counting inventory somewhere. We're also going to take a look at some browser extensions. I got three for you. I got tons that I could give you, but today I'm just going to give you my top three. One for managing passwords effectively, one for blocking malware and pop-ups and other malicious information, including ads, and one for making you sound good. And I'm saying that facetiously, make you sound appropriate in your emails and correspondence, which is Grammarly. Which can be absolutely fantastic for proofreading and checking your documents. I'm also going to give you some recommendations with respect to ways that you can improve your redundancy and backup with tools such as OneDrive and CrashPlan for improving your ability to secure your files. So all that and more in our presentation for today. Now, I do want to remind you, if you're a financial professional, if you're a certified public accountant or some other professional that requires continuing education as a manner of keeping your license, guess what? You can earn credit for listening to today's podcast, whether you're listening live on YouTube and Facebook, where we stream twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m., or you're listening after the fact on the podcast platform of your choosing, including Apple Podcasts, Google, and more, you can earn credits for listening or watching to today's presentation. It's super simple. Head on over to cpetoday.com and use course code HOT2. That is HOT2. How cool is that? And with that code, you'll take a short 5-question quiz, and then you will be able to earn in credit for today's class. Super simple, super efficient, not difficult, and it's a great way to stay on top of your credits for maintaining your license. Okay, well, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into our first section for today. So our first section for today, we're going to be looking at business services and tools. And these are tools that I use for conducting business, for tracking information, for taking better screenshots, for hosting my organization's data, and more. And the first resource I want to draw your attention to is this application called Nenite. Nenite is both a application that you install on your Windows PC, as well as a website that you can go to. And this is a tool that I use every time that I get a brand new computer. Or if somebody calls me up and they say, hey, Steve, I need help getting, you know, my computer set up, you know, this is going to be that go-to tool that is the first thing that I do. Now, let me tell you the normal scenario. Okay, you get a new machine, you often have to put a bunch of different services and applications on it. You know, you got to put in, for example, maybe the different browsers, Firefox, Edge, and Chrome, because maybe they're not installed by default. Maybe you need to install your music player. Maybe you need to install some specific frameworks to support certain applications, maybe like Java, for example, or Python. Well, we end up having to go to 20 different places to install these apps and services, and it can be very cumbersome and take a lot of time to get this set up correctly. Well, Nenite allows you to select from a list, and you select the applications that you'd like to use, and you click download, and it will install all those applications at once, and you don't have to go to each individual provider. Furthermore, it's completely anonymous, so it's not like you have to give them a whole bunch of personal information. It's completely anonymous. You select the apps, it installs it, and it works. Now, it's absolutely free, F-R-E-E, for personal use, and they've got a great tool if you're looking to manage this across a whole company, you know, for you know, multiple people and multiple work sites. So the application is fantastic, not only for that initial download of those apps, but then also what I would say is for updating those apps. What's incredible about it is that it can be really helpful to keep your computer secured because all you have to do is rerun that Nenite and it will download the latest version and install the latest version of whatever apps are presented. So let's go ahead and take a quick look and see what this application looks like. Okay, so it is super simple to be able to go to. You're going to go to nenite.com, and from here, you will be able to choose the different applications that you may want to install and use. So just kind of looking what we've got, for example, all the major web browsers. So put yourself in the shoes. You just got your brand new computer from Dell or HP, and you know, it's come time to install, and you want to get, for example, the browsers. Well, you'd select Chrome, you'd select Firefox, you'd select Edge, maybe even Opera if you'd like. And then you could select whatever other applications you might want to use. So there's applications for virtually pretty much every type of category of product and service. In fact, we're going to talk through some of my favorites here today in a minute, including things like ShareX, 7-Zip, and others. So some of my favorite applications that are listed in here. On the imaging side, if you, for example, need to do any sort of image editing and you're familiar with the term Photoshop, well, a good alternative to Photoshop would be GIMP. GIMP is a free open source image editor, looks and feels just like Photoshop, doesn't do everything that Photoshop does. But you know what? Photoshop is several hundred dollars. This one's free. And in fact, if we look across these different applications, everything on this page is free and safe. They've gone ahead and downloaded and scanned these different tools to ensure that the source code that they're utilizing or the installer application that they're utilizing is safe to install on your computer. And all of these applications are free to download. Now, some of them might require licensing. A good example of this would be Spotify. You could certainly use the free version of Spotify, but you know, if you want the paid version, you'd have to pay for it. But almost all these applications are free for what they do. So you got GIMP for image editing, which is pretty cool. We've got ShareX, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute. Okay, so which is my personal favorite tool for taking screenshots. So remember, that's there. If you deal at all with compressed files, zip files, tar files, this application 7-Zip is the absolute best. Not only is it very fast and efficient, it's the most feature rich out there, and also, again, free. So I'd recommend that one. If we come up here to our messaging, you know, most of us, for example, are meeting and doing at least some business across Zoom. Well, instead of having to go to Zoom and download it, we could just click it here and it'll go ahead and install this application for us. Okay, we could scroll down. Other applications like Skype, for example, or Thunderbird, which is a great alternative for Outlook. Trillion, which is a tool that can combine multiple instant messaging platforms together, which is pretty nifty. They've got some good security essential programs here, although generally I personally recommend Trend Micro for my security needs, and that's what I would recommend for you as well. Okay, under the other, we've got Evernote, which is a great alternative to Microsoft OneNote for like a digital trapper keeper to keep track of information. They've got Google Earth for scanning and zooming in on, you know, places around Earth, which are pretty cool. You can take a virtual tour. Steam for gaming. KeePass, which is a great open source and secure password manager. So if you're not looking to do something in the cloud, that KeePass can be a great option for you. You got this tool called Everything, one of my absolute favorites with respect to searching, and more on that here in a minute. It's coming up here under our media. Okay, all the stuff you would expect. iTunes, if you needed that. My personal favorite media player, VLC. Okay, there's Audacity for audio editing as well. There's Spotify if you want to listen to music. On your storage, Dropbox, Google Drive, OneDrive, so on and so forth, all listed here. Under developer tools, these might be things that you probably wouldn't necessarily use on a regular basis if you're not more of a software developer. But I will tell you a couple ones that are really useful that you might want to consider. FileZilla is a fabulous tool if you're doing any sort of transferring of data to and from an FTP or SFTP server. Notepad++ is like your computer's notepad, but much better and much more feature rich. And in fact, if you're looking for an even better notepad editor, this Visual Studio Code is one of my favorite applications. It is a coding tool, but you can use it as a notepad editor, and generally it just works really, really, really great. Now over here under our documents and our runtimes, if you need to do install Java or .NET, this would be where you would do it. Likewise, if you're looking to install anything around PDFs and managing PDFs, over here are some great options for desktop productivity as well as PDF. Sumatra PDF, Qt PDF are both really good options for managing creating PDFs. In fact, Qt PDF is a tool that you can use to create PDFs absent Adobe Acrobat. Now, Acrobat's a fantastic application on its own, but if you don't want to, you know, fork out the $500 or $30 a month to license it, you just need to create PDFs occasionally, well, this is a great option for you. Likewise, LibreOffice and OpenOffice are great open source free alternatives to Microsoft Office. So if you don't want to pay for Office, and understandably, if you don't do a lot of it, might not be worth it. Well, those are good alternatives to consider. Under our utilities, if we need remote access, we can download TeamViewer 15. We can also download RealVNC, which would be my preference. If you need to access your work computer from home or access a family member's machine that's having issues and you need to help them resolve it, that would be my application that I would recommend. We also have Launchy, one of my favorite tools for launching applications. I'll give you that an example here in a minute, as well as WinDirtSat, which is a great tool to be able to analyze where the heck all your computer storage is going and finding and removing unneeded and unwanted files. Well, with Nanite, you select the applications that you like, okay? You know, so we'll just go ahead and make a couple selections here. And then you scroll down a little bit, and you'll see this option that says, get and download your custom installer. If we go ahead and click this Get Your Nanite, it will now download all these tools into an installer, and then we run that installer. Let's go ahead and minimize this so you can see it run. Okay, it's going to ask for permissions. We're going to go ahead and click OK. And it now is installing those different applications automatically for me. So I don't have to go and download Firefox and Chrome and Edge and all the other things that might pop up. It essentially takes care of them. And it will keep those up to date. As long as I use that installer again, it will continue to install those applications and keep them up to date for me. So as you can see here, I already have some of these applications installed, so there's nothing for it to do. And as it's installing these other applications, you'll see it's popping the icons over here on the left-hand side. So for some of the other applications that we're going to mention here today, realize that you can get them at Nanite, and you know, it's just an easy way. It's an anonymous way. It's a secure way to keep your devices up to date with the latest and greatest applications that are in there. So one of my favorite tools, I often am checking just to see if they've added new versions, new applications that are on there. And I've even discovered a variety of fantastic open source applications that I otherwise did not know. Okay, we'll let that run here in the background, and let's go ahead and talk about a couple of my favorite Nanite applications that you should be familiar with. So, one of the issues that I often find is I can't, no pun intended, I can't find files on my machine. On my normal computer, my big desktop computer, I've got literally millions of files between work files, personal files, everything from the almost 2 million personal photos I've collected over the years, as well as MP3s and movies, as well as countless spreadsheets, documents, and everything else inside of my computer. You know, and the Windows search is okay. I will tell you, in Windows 10, it's gotten better, but it's not perfect. Well, there's a fabulous application that you can get from Nenite for free called Everything that will give you the absolute best search for Windows, and it'll let you find anything on your computer. It has its own built-in search engine that uses part of the Windows file system to be able to take its own index of the computer and instantly allows you to search for anything in your computer. Whether you're looking for an individual file, you're looking for a folder, or maybe even something inside of a file. All you have to do is type in the search filter what you're looking for, and it will start to find those different applications for you. Whether it be, for example, a spreadsheet, an application, whatever, it will go ahead and find those for you. Let's go ahead and take a look at what this looks like. Now, from Nenite, I've gone ahead and I've downloaded the Everything application, and it's run, and you can see here it is taking its own index of the computer, and at the moment, it has 462,499 objects, and this is just a virtual machine that it happens to have in its current index at the moment. So that is really kind of helpful to kind of get a sense of how many objects that you have. And I mean, this is a virtual machine, so it's not my normal computer. But even this simple machine has that much in it. So we can come up here, for example, and we could search. Let's say we wanted to find a file that is a Word file. Well, we'll type in DOCX, and it will start to filter down to just where those files are located. And we could see, for example, here, client letter, flow, password protection regulations, guidelines. Those files are listed as well. If we turn XLSX, okay, we start to see, for example, all of the Excel files that are listed as well. Now, we can double-click these and load these up. We can also right-click on something, and we can select Explore or copy the file path. And if we select that, it will go ahead and open up where that file is located for us, and we can browse maybe around it. So that is a little bit with searching by file type. If we just type in what we're looking for, like Yas, my last name, if I had some files listed that way, it would pop up this way. Or if we had, let's say, a password guideline, you know, something like that, we could type that in. And we're going to see anything that involves that particular word, in this case of password. And it'll show us what specific file it is, where that file is located, the size of that file, and as well as the date modified. And there's other columns that we can add in here as well. So if we're trying to pull in the extension, the date is created, and how many times it's been run, so on and so forth. We can create bookmarks to go to specific places of our computer and specific file searches. And we also have some advanced search options as well, where we can match part of a word, match the path, match using advanced techniques such as regex and more. But overall, this is a wonderful tool to be able to find files inside your computers that would otherwise be very, very difficult to track down. And I've used it, for example, across not only my files, but the files I've got on network drives, the files I have on USB hard drives, SharePoint, and more. And it's become an indispensable tool to actually be able to track and find things on my computer. Now, the next application I want to tell you about is a tool that I use for taking screenshots. You know, as a financial professional, as a software developer, as a business consultant, I am in a supporting role, not only for my clients, but also my staff. And often we're working in specific applications, we're working on specific websites, and we want to be able to convey what to click on, what to do, or what something looks like from our perspective. And a most effective way of doing that is a screenshot. You know, if a picture's worth 1,000 words, you know, this is worth, you know, trying to type out in, you know, 2 paragraphs what I was doing. Well, instead, I could just take a screenshot and send it to them. Now, there are lots of different tools that you can use to take a screenshot. Windows has its own default tool, which is the print screen button. There are tools like Snagit, which is a fantastic tool for taking screenshots as well, built right into the operating system. But often I need to do more than just taking a screenshot. I often, for example, need to take a screenshot and then annotate something around that screenshot to provide some additional detail, maybe drawing an arrow, putting a frame around it, maybe even writing a little note or something like that. Well, the tool I like to use, also available from Nenite, is called ShareX, free, open source, program that allows you to capture any variety of different methods. You can capture the whole screen. You can capture part of the screen. You can capture a GIF. You can capture a video. You could put annotations on it. You can include images on it, or really kind of anything else. You could save it in a JPEG. You can save it in a PNG. You can even automatically upload it to a screenshot sharing service such as Imgur to be able to share instantly with a colleague. You can also copy and paste it directly into an email. But long story short, this is the absolute best tool that I have ever come across with respect to taking screenshots. And somebody who takes a lot of them, it is something that I use quite often. And it is something that I use not only for, you know, kind of more, let's say, development related stuff, like when I'm building software, but something as simple as just like, you know, telling my dad, you know, when he's looking to book a hotel room, you know, where to put the, you know, the coupon code or the booking code in for something. You know, and so I find that to be quite effective for, you know, kind of conveying stuff in a much simpler and easier method. So let's go ahead and switch over and take a look at how we might use this tool. Okay, so ShareX is going to be something that will live inside of your browser taskbar. And if we just, for example, come down here to our taskbar, you'll see that there is this ShareX. Okay, let's go ahead and right click on this. And we will see that there's a whole listing of different options. So if we choose to use the mouse, we can. And from this mouse, we can go ahead, mouse menu, we can go ahead and capture the full screen, part of a screen, regions of a screen. We can do a screen recording, a GIF, a scrolling capture where it'll take multiple. We can even capture and recognize the text inside of it. Okay, we can also do a delay. So if it's something we need to, you know, delay it by a couple of seconds, we can do that wise. It also supports a variety of these workflows, which are pretty nifty as well. These workflows allow us to kind of automate many of the things that we would often do in conjunction with creating a screenshot, like uploading it to a specific folder in SharePoint or sending it to a particular client. Well, we can go ahead and set an automation for that that'll just make it easier. It supports a variety of destinations, you know, from Pastebin, Dropbox, Bitly, Twitter, and more. So if we need to support pushing this somewhere and sending it to someone, we can. And what I do want to draw your attention to is you can also map this out to hotkeys. So if you wanted to, you can just activate this using a keyboard shortcut, which is how I normally do it. So let's go ahead and take a couple sample screenshots. Okay, so I'm on a, let's say, for example, this 1040 return listed right here. Okay, and let's say, for example, I wanted to draw somebody's attention to where I wanted them to complete something, maybe down here to these dependents. Well, in this particular case, I have the keyboard shortcut Control Print Screen mapped to ShareX. And so if I hit Control Print Screen, what it's going to do is it's going to take a quick snapshot of the actual page itself. Okay, and so we're going to see that it is now taking a snapshot of this, and I have a whole wealth of menu bars that are available to me and options. I can capture a region of the screen. I can also capture other polygons, you know, including a multi-sided thing as well as a center, you know, like a circle. I can draw, and like, for example, a rectangle around something. So maybe I want to draw my attention over here to the dependents, something like this. Okay, I could point arrows. Maybe I want to, for example, tell them, hey, I want you to look here, and I also want you to look here. Okay, I could also, for example, put in some steps. So maybe I want you to put the name in first here, then the social security number, and then the relationship to the individual, letting them know to do 1, 2, and 3. Okay, I could even put some text in here. So if I want to say, for example, please put the names of your dependents. Okay. And it will add that text, and I can push and pull this kind of text anywhere I'd like it to be. So we'll put that right here. Now, let's just say, for example, we are working with something and it might have some sensitive information. Well, like a social security number. Well, one of the cool things is I can actually blur or pixelate the text behind it. So if we're sending a snapshot of the tax return and we don't want to, and nor should we send the social security information, we can go ahead and blur that out so it is not visible. Okay. We can delete parts of the screen as well. So if we want to get rid of it, we can use our highlighter. So if I want to highlight, for example, If I wanted to highlight a particular section, we could do that as well, drawing attention to it. And we can also change what color highlight is available. We could also magnify. So if we needed to, kind of blow up a part of the screen to make it more apparent, we could do that. Really, the takeaway that you should get from this is that you can create whatever type of screenshot that you want. Okay, so let's just go ahead and take a screenshot here. Okay, takes that particular screenshot and it will now store it on my computer and I could send it. In fact, here is a screenshot example of it. So let's go ahead and open this up here in Photos. And I could easily copy and paste this or attach it to an email to somebody else. But this ShareX application I find to be quite useful for really kind of any type of screenshot that you might choose to use. So it is a tool that I find that I use quite regularly for taking and capturing information and sending it to clients, colleagues, staff, and more. Now, another tool that I use quite often is a tool called Launchy. Launchy is a utility kind of help you forget about, having to remember where specific applications are, icons on your desktop, or even your file manager. You launch it with a keyboard shortcut. Most often it is Control Shift, and it will open up a little menu and it will allow you to kind of launch whatever application you might need to launch, thereby kind of keeping your hands on the computer keyboard. So if we are on our desktop computer, we go ahead and we hit Control Enter, Alt Enter, wherever we happen to have our shortcut map, we can bring up this little screen right here. And from this little screen, we just type what we're looking for, like Chrome, for example. And if I hit this, it opens up the Chrome browser for me. Launchy supports a variety of different keyboard shortcuts in addition to programs. So we can, for example, do, math inside of here, for example, and it'll do our calculator. We could do dates, we can book appointments, lots of stuff. But it's intended to kind of be this application that is available at any point. So if you're in something, you hit Control Enter, Alt Enter, whatever you happen to have it mapped, and it will bring up this little dialog box that you can then use to manage your computer a little bit more effectively. Overall, a really good and efficient way of managing your applications, and takes a lot of headache out of remembering of where the heck is Photoshop installed or GIMP or Edge or anything else. And you don't have to have a barrage of icons on your desktop. I tend to launch stuff just with this, this is the shortcut, and just type out what I'm looking for, and it works very effectively for me. Now, the next application that we're going to talk about is WinDirStat. Okay, this is disk usage statistics, and this is a way of seeing where your files are being allocated on your computer and what files are big, what files are small, and what type of files you have. Now, I came across this application on Nenite, and it solved a really particular problem for me. I had a laptop with minimal hard drive space, and I needed a way of knowing what files were there and freeing up unnecessary stuff because I couldn't add any more storage to that computer. And often with many of us, myself included, we end up with just this bloat of software and files and stuff over the years, and it just kind of, takes away your space and slows down your machine. Well, WinDirStat will essentially take a catalog of everything installed on your computer and then will show you what it looks like. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. So I have already installed this and I ran it ahead of time. It can take a little bit of time, a couple minutes or longer, depending on how much hard drive space you have. But this is a catalog of this virtual machine. In the upper left-hand corner, we see a breakdown of folder size. So we can see that, for example, the Windows folder here is 12.4 gigabytes in size. We can see that the user folder is 5.5 gigs in size, and we could drill down to these particular folders. And you'll see as we start to work through here where these actual folders are taking space. So we can see here in this local directory, in this Microsoft directory, we could start to see, for example, that there is some pretty big data here. And if we look inside of this, we'll probably find, for example, unnecessary files that aren't needed. Okay. Now on the right-hand side, we can see over here, we've got it break down by different types. So we can see, you know, if we had a lot of, for example, large MP4 videos, you know, maybe we have some movies from that we've stored from Netflix or Amazon Prime to watch on a plane that we never deleted, or MP3 files, we would see what they are. But this is a really helpful solution to be able to understand what files are on your machine and what you could potentially get rid of. Now, I've used this repeatedly to kind of keep my machines running up to date and to get rid of stuff that isn't really necessary for my normal course of business. And if you have a mobile computer with a finite amount of space, this could be really kind of useful to understand where these big blocks are. You know, this helps you understand this type of chart is what we call a tree map chart, and it shows relative size of something against a whole. And so we could see here by these different blocks how big something is compared to something else. And so if we click on one of these things, and again, depending on how large they are, it might take a second or two to clarify, but it'll show you, you know, this particular file, this MSP file is 391 megabytes, and we could see its size relative to other items. You know, so this could be a really useful tool for kind of understanding where your hard drive space is being allocated in to get rid of stuff that is not needed. Now, I'm only going to briefly mention these. We'll save these for another podcast. But let's talk about hosting applications, and let's talk about putting business services, our tax programs, our accounting programs, our inventory, customer relationship management, and more. Let's talk about putting them somewhere on the cloud. You know, the cloud at this point, in my opinion, is the default method of deploying applications for business. Deploying on-premise is the exception, not the rule. There are very, very few circumstances that I personally can think of where not deploying in a cloud environment would be better. In almost all circumstances, deploying in a cloud infrastructure would be preferred. For speed, for price, reliability, scalability, availability. I mean, it's just a no-brainer with respect to where and how these different applications will run better. And almost across the board, uniformly, they are going to run better inside of cloud infrastructure. So knowing that, there are a couple of recommendations that I have with respect to different cloud tech that you might want to consider. Now, when it comes time to move your organization to the cloud, my go-to always is AWS. AWS is the most powerful. It's the most feature-rich. They have footprints worldwide that you could put technology infrastructure anywhere from Cape Town, South Africa, to Frankfurt, Germany, to Dublin, Ireland, to Virginia, to Northern California, Oregon, Beijing, Tokyo, São Paulo, and more. And I could build anything for anybody using this tool. Now, its downside is it's not really designed for beginners, but it's a really powerful tool for experienced users. So if you've got some technical expertise or people and staff that can do this for you, AWS will always be the best choice because it is the best value dollar for dollar for investment. If you're looking for a different solution where it is managed on your behalf, well, my solution and my recommendation would be Centrum. Centrum is a financial firm focused cloud hosting company. They have their own data centers that they manage 24/7, 365 support and engineers on standby every day from Christmas to tax day to ensure that your systems will remain up and running. Now, AWS isn't really designed for you to call them if they have a problem. You know, if the application's not working, AWS's position is, well, I'm sorry, that's not our problem. Centrum, on the other hand, is that company that can call you, that you can call if something's not working correctly. So for financial professionals that maybe don't want to take on the IT oversight of managing their own cloud deployment, well, Centrum is going to be a good solution for you. And overall, I've had many clients over the years work with Centrum with pretty high degrees of success, and they're my go-to. Them, and I would also say Ace Cloud Hosting for creating a firm cloud or a cloud for a accounting department for a internal organization. So if you're looking to move to the cloud, definitely check out AWS and Centrum. We're going to focus on them in future podcasts, specifically with configuring your own AWS account, getting started with building a VM, and more. So stay tuned for that. Alrighty, let's go ahead and have a review question. What is an awesome tool for creating and managing screenshots on your computer? Is it Amazon Web Services. Nope, that would not be the solution I would go for. AWS is a fabulous tool for hosting, but would screenshot tool it is not. Although I guess if you really wanted to argue semantics, you could install this in a VM running in AWS, which I guess kind of gets to the point, but not the intent of what we're looking for. Is it Windurstat? Nope. Windurstat is a great tool for finding files on your computer and understanding size relative to other things to free up space. Is it Everything? No. Everything is a great tool for searching. And you might want to take a screenshot of what you find in Everything, but that tool that you would want to use for taking screenshots would be ShareX. Now, a couple of other applications we should know that can help improve our lives is the Microsoft 365 ecosystem. And often an overlooked application inside of 365 is Microsoft OneNote. OneNote, as I like to define it, is really kind of like the digital trapper keeper for all things inside of your company. You can use OneNote, for example, to store, you know, client meeting notes. You could use OneNote to, you know, for example, store information about maybe doing research on new cars that you want to purchase. You could use OneNote for wedding planning, you know, and you could use it as a digital trapper keeper to pull together ideas, inspiration, vendor contact information, and more all in one place. Now, if you pair that with 365, what's really kind of cool about it is that it will allow for all these different notes to be shared across people in your company. And so you can access OneNote, your digital trapper keeper, really on any device, anywhere. And if you're using like an iPad or an Android tablet or even a phone of some sort, you can even draw right with your finger. And it's a great way of kind of taking those notes on the road. Now, I use OneNote a lot for client meetings. It's a really cool tool with respect to managing that documentation that can be generated when you're speaking with a client. And I also use it when I'm preparing, for example, new courses that I want to read and write. I will do the research. I'll clip the research into my OneNote using the OneNote Web Clipper. And then I will have all of that I found across the web in one central place. And that's a really great way to be able to kind of centralize your thoughts, your documentation into one location, and then be able to share it with other people on your team. Now, in conjunction with OneNote, there's a really nifty tool called the OneNote Web Clipper. This is a browser tool, okay, that is available inside of Chrome and Edge and other browsers as well, that allow you to save parts of a web page from the web. And it allows you to kind of just pick, you know, either the pictures or the screenshots or the text or whatever, and kind of just save it on your computer for future reference and use. You know, so if you were, for example, kind of maybe doing some car shopping, and maybe you were thinking, you know, for example, that you were looking at maybe the new Ford Broncos, which look really kind of incredible. And let's say, for example, you came across a article, you know, kind of talking about, you know, that new Chrome or that new Bronco, and you wanted to store it in your OneNote notebook for car research. Well, as you're kind of working through the internet, if you have the OneNote Web Clipper installed, you come up here to the upper right-hand corner, okay, and it will load up and it's going to ask you, oh, cool, you're on a website. What do you want to do with this? Well, you can capture just the article as an example. And what it does is it scans through the whole page here and will actually remove all the advertisements, just showing you the text of this, which is pretty cool. You could capture the whole page, which include the advertisements. Why would you ever want to do that? Or you could capture just a region. So, you know, if I wanted to, for example, maybe just take a picture of this, well, I can grab just a screenshot of this and it will keep that and I can put it inside of whatever OneNote notebook that I might want to do. But this is a great way of kind of capturing information from the web and then storing it as part of your OneNote notebooks. And this is a tool that I use quite often for researching future podcasts or doing research for clients or, you know, frankly, just kind of keeping things that I find interesting across the web in one central location. And OneNote is that tool that is my digital trapper keeper. It's my memory for kind of pulling all of this together. Now, the last business tool and service I want to mention to you is a simple one, and it's a reminder more than anything else. It's a reminder that you can use your cell phone as a scanner, and there are tons of apps that can do this for you. If you have an Android, if you have an iPhone, which 99% of you should, this can be your scanner when you're out on the road, okay? You point the camera at it, you take a picture of something, it turns that picture into a scanned document. Now, there are lots of tools that can do this. For iOS, my personal favorite is a tool called Scanner Pro. It's got great services, for example, for scanning business cards and for scanning pages, whether they be letter, legal, or otherwise. But you can also do this straight into Microsoft Teams, everybody's favorite communication suite. You could also do it inside of Adobe Acrobat DC as well, using their scanner tool inside of the Acrobat app. But you hold your phone up, you take a picture of something, the apps will almost all have what's called edge detection, figuring out where the piece of paper starts and stops. So if you're out of the client and you need to take a, you know, a scan of a document the client hands you, don't bring your portable scanner. Rather, just bring your cell phone, and with that cell phone, you could take a picture of that and transfer it directly to whatever service you use. Now, I love Scanner Pro for independent stuff, but if I am working and I'm sending something to, you know, one of my colleagues, my business partner Alex or Alicia or anybody else on the Devmatics CPE Today team, well, guess what? I'm going to use Microsoft Teams, and it's built right into the chat functionality. Stand over the document with the Teams app open, click the photo button. It'll ask you, what are you taking a picture of? Is it a picture, like a picture, or are you scanning something? You select the scanner button, it will scan that document, taking a visual representation of it, and then send it directly over either to the files section in Teams or in the instant message if you're sending it that way. But just remember, your phone can be a scanner, and that could save you a tremendous amount of time. There could even be advanced tools, like, for example, optical character recognition, where it'll actually scan and extract text from the actual scan itself. You could set up automation, where you could set up workflows in both Scanner Pro and Acrobat, which you do something, it could automatically save it somewhere else. And any of these tools will do a pretty good job for you, and I often use them all, but just in different circumstances, depending on what I'm looking to do. But if I had to pick one out of the bunch, Scanner Pro for iOS is the definite winner here. If I was looking for something solely around the ease of communication with my team, it would definitely be the Teams app on my phone, because it's already there, and that's how I'm already talking with people when I'm on the road. Now, for our next section, I want to draw your attention to some browser extensions that can be really helpful and useful. Okay, the browser is probably the most important application you have on your computer. It's central to everybody's desktop. This is how we're interacting with and utilizing the web. It's how we get online. It's how we book concert tickets. It's how we book travel. It's how we check our email. It is an indispensable part of modern life is using an internet browser. As such, use a good browser. Use a browser that is fast, modern, and feature-rich. Additionally, you might want to consider a browser that supports third-party functionality that extend the core functionality of that browser. Okay, just like the iOS has the App Store for Apple and Google has Google Play, your internet browser, both Edge, Firefox, and Chrome also have their own extension store, which allow you to download tools and functions that make your internet experience easier, feature rich, and help protect your privacy. And almost all browsers support this in different capacities. Now, my two favorite browsers that I use quite often are Chrome and Edge. And funny enough, they're actually pretty much the same browser, 99% the same. Chrome, the source application inside of it is called Chromium, which is an open source Google application freely available to anybody who'd like to use it. Microsoft, about a year ago, decided, you know what, this whole thing with Internet Explorer, old Edge is not working. Let's just throw in the towel and build a better experience using Chromium. And that's exactly what they did. So Chromium and Edge are pretty much the same thing. It's just Microsoft's version of Chromium. So if you're running Edge, if you're running Chrome, you know, it's pretty much identical for what they do. And in fact, I will say Microsoft's done a pretty good job with Edge. They haven't had a good browser in years, but I got to give credit where credit due is due. And that Edge browser is fantastic. And I have no problems recommending it. Why? Well, because the heart and soul of it are based in Chromium, which is the same experience that I've already come to love with Google Chrome. It's just built right into Office 365, and it's got some additional Microsoft-centric stuff that, in my opinion, just make it really great. All right, I got three tools I absolutely recommend that you utilize for regardless of what browser you use. Password management, malware blocking, and then also something to help correct your grammar. Okay, and we're going to cover all three of these in their own dedicated podcast in the future, as there are so many unique characteristics of each one of them. Okay, password management is absolutely essential in today's environment. Okay, a best practice with passwords is that you never, ever, 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 ever reuse passwords. Don't do it. It's a bad idea. If we think about why a lot of data breaches occur, it's because passwords get stolen, and then because people reuse them, they don't never change them. Well, when those passwords are stolen, that causes other accounts to get compromised. Okay, well, password management and two-factor authentication from a password perspective are pretty much the two recommendations I have. And there are lots of great password management tools. For example, Dashlane, KeePass, as we spoke about previously, Zoho Vault and others. I got no qualms with any of them. I just only recommend products I personally use and have personal experience with. And the one that I personally recommend and use, and many of my family, colleagues, and clients use, is LastPass. LastPass, properly set up and configured, totally secure, and a great way of improving your overall security. With respect to LastPass, you can generate passwords, you can store them in the password management tools inside the application, and then recall them on whatever device you need. And if you store it and use this across your computers and mobile phones, it'll sync between those services very well. LastPass for Edge and Chrome is fantastic because it'll capture your passwords automatically, recall them on the different websites that you're using, and it will even generate them as well. And in my opinion, this is like one of the first tools I install when using a browser. Now, one of the next tools I install is uBlock Origin. This is a content blocker for your computer. And for your browser, you can install it on pretty much any of the major browsers support this, including Edge and Chrome. And what this does is that it will show a website absent the advertisements and absent of any potential malware that might be presented on that page. I'm not going to say it's 100% foolproof because nothing is 100% foolproof. But I'm telling you, if you install uBlock Origin on your computer and you use this, you're not only going to get a faster browsing experience because it's going to prevent, for example, advertisements and other things from being displayed on that page, but also a safer experience because it will prevent, in most instances, malware from even being displayed. You know, I would tell you that if you were to utilize this on a regular basis, you're going to significantly reduce your overall risk because you're not going to have the opportunity to click on something. It is going to prevent those ads, which could potentially be coming from malicious third parties, from even being displayed from the get-go. And overall, it's a really good solution. Now, for websites you want to support, for websites that you want to be able to patron, you could certainly do that. You can turn off the functionality to display the ads for those particular sites. I mean, a lot of websites, for example, now, this is how they make their income, is through advertisement. But you know what's kind of difficult with this is that with respect to the websites, I don't really want to necessarily consent to all the advertising as well as all the tracking that comes as part of this as well, you know. So, by utilizing these different services and utilizing a blocking tool like this, I'm often improving my overall protection to prevent from being tracked, and it helps promote privacy overall. Now, there are a lot of tools that do this. uBlock Origin, to give it some credibility, is an open source, freely available, publicly listed tool that does a very good job of being transparent with respect to how it operates and works. And it's essentially providing the framework. You can plug in various content blocking services to it to make it either more aggressive or less aggressive for what your specific needs are. So it offers varying degrees of protection, really kind of allowing the user to choose the level that is appropriate for them. Let's go ahead and take a look real quick at what this looks like on a site. So let's just say we were going to the New York Times, newyorktimes.com. If you were to open this up on your normal browser, this is what you would come to expect. Okay, we would see, for example, there's some advertisements up here on the top. And as we kind of scroll through the page, you'll see other advertisements being listed here as well. Okay, more ads right here in the middle of the page, more advertisements further down, so on and so forth. Now, let's look at the same experience, but inside a browser where I have enabled this. Okay, same website, same page, same time. Okay, we could see that all the advertisements are removed, or if they're not removed, substantially removed. All the egregious ones in my mind are. Okay, so we can see there probably was an ad over here that's gone. The ad at the halfway down, as well as up at the top, is gone as well. Now, if we click over here to uBlock Origin, okay, you'll see that we are blocking 21 different things on this website. 5 out of 12 domains are connected, and we can even see how many are being blocked since I installed this on this virtual machine. But there are 21 different things that are being blocked as a component of this site. And if we open up our logger here, we can actually filter down to what is being blocked to see what it is. But it's probably going to be stuff around like things like analytics services, tracking services, Facebook Pixel, Google AdSense, and others. By blocking these, we essentially will have a safer experience. Because if we think about it, a lot of malware often comes in the form of malicious advertisements. Well, if that tool prevents them from ever being displayed, it can often make a better overall experience than what we would get without it. To me, it is an indispensable tool and a necessary component of a safe browsing experience in today's environment. I will point out that is a desktop-only tool. So if you go looking for this inside of Chrome on your mobile device, unfortunately, you're not going to find it. Now, the last browser tool is a tool called Grammarly. Now, Grammarly is an indispensable tool in its own right for improving your writing capabilities. It corrects writing mistakes, simple stuff, spelling, grammar, and more complicated stuff, including syntax, word selection, sentence order, and things of this nature to help you become a better writer. In fact, it uses a variety of algorithms in and around like machine learning and more to read text both in context of the word choice, word by word, but in the context of a sentence and the sentence in the context of a paragraph. And it helps you identify and correct over 250 different grammatical mistakes, ultimately making you sound like you're a much better writer than you probably are, myself included. This tool is a tool that I use on every single email that I send out, and it helps ensure that things are mistake-free and look and sound the way that I intended them, and there aren't any gross oversights with respect to spelling, grammar, syntax, things of this nature. It works in every browser, you know, so I use it Chrome and Edge 100% of the time, as well as I use it in all my internet service providers. It works in Gmail, Facebook, so Twitter, so LinkedIn, and other social media accounts, really kind of anywhere where you would write in the web, you can use this as inside of the browser to correct your text there. So you'll always have a correct post or a correct email for what you might need to say. Now, it's also really cool. They have a free plugin for Microsoft Word and Outlook. So if you're an Outlook junkie like myself, or you use Word for writing letters, you can plug this directly into the application and be able to access this right inside of there. So you don't even have to run this inside of Outlook. You don't even have to run this solely just inside of the browser. You can also run it inside of two applications you probably use quite regularly. Let's go ahead and take a look here. So if we switch over here to Outlook and we click New Email, okay? And as we click the new email, we'll see this new email pop up, and you'll see I have Grammarly loaded on the right-hand side. All you have to do to get this, if you don't have Grammarly listed already, is just go to Grammarly's website and download the correct tool. Now, let's just say I was going to go ahead and send my good buddy Randy a email asking for some advice for a client, you know, for maybe for an accounting selection. So I'll send him a subject line. Okay. And just to make this simple, I'm going to copy and paste some text that I've already pre-prepared. Okay. Now, the second I put that text in here, Grammarly goes to work and it will start to analyze this text. And as we start to write, you'll see, for example, it will recognize some of these errors that we put in here. Now, it'll say, oh, you know, with QuickBooks here, it looks like I might have misspelled that. It might be, for example, a capital Q and a capital B. It'll correct it. With your over here, it looks like I forgot to put in an apostrophe, and it will go ahead and correct it. Now, there are also going to be premium issues. So if you happen to be using the premium version, it will recommend additional items for you that might include, for example, again, better word selection, better orders of sentence, and more. The free version connects the free version corrects all the basic stuff, spelling, grammar, punctuation. The premium version does everything else plus a lot more, you know, and the business version is pretty much the same thing, but it's intended to be for teams of three or more. I love this tool and I just use the free version. Honestly, if they had a version or a plugin for PowerPoint, I wouldn't hesitate at all purchasing it, but unfortunately they don't. So if you do happen to spend a lot of time in Outlook and Word, though, it's definitely worth your while, and realize that even for basic stuff, it's much better than the native spell check and grammar check that's going to come with Word. Alrighty, so let's have our second to last polling question here. Which browser extension would you use to create and manage passwords? Would it be Ghostery? No, it would not. Would it be Grammarly? No, it would not. Would it be LastPass? You betcha. That would be the product and service that I would use. Okay, one last section, just a quick note, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap up for the day. And the last thing is, consider using a file syncing and sharing service. Lots of really good tools that are out there that can help improve your security and redundancy with respect to ensuring that your files are properly backed up and secured. Okay. There are two main types of file backup that you might want to consider: system level backup and file level backup. When it comes to these different types of backup services, it's not a matter of one or the other. I really recommend that you use both because they do different things and serve different purposes. When it comes to file level backup, my personal recommendation, Microsoft OneDrive. Built right into Windows 10. It's natively supported by the operating system. If you're using 365, you get a terabyte of storage. It's fast, efficient. The sharing collaboration is incredible. And I would recommend you check out our series on Microsoft 365 and some of the cloud features when we really kind of dive into the power of OneDrive and SharePoint, which you can use for both individual level storage and file level storage. This is going to ensure that your files are backed up to the Microsoft cloud and then also pushed down to the other applications you might be using as well. They work great for backing up individual files themselves, and they're also good for both files large and small, and they're also really good at folders that you can back up whole directories of content as well. Now, as great as OneDrive is, it is not the only solution you should consider. You should consider also a total system backup service. These are going to back up not only individual files, but all the other stuff like your settings, the configuration, the registry, in addition to the actual files. I'm a big fan of not putting all my eggs in one basket. And by utilizing a secondary system level backup, I'm ensuring that if I have a provider failure, it's not going to be the end of my business. Now, when it comes to whole company, whole system, whole user backup, my recommendation is CrashPlan. CrashPlan backs up a whole computer. It's 100% cloud-based, and it is at a very affordable price point of $10 per user per month. And for our staff that work remote, you know, when we ship out a new computer, this comes pre-configured and installed, ensuring that if that computer fails, all that user's stuff, even if the stuff they didn't put inside of OneDrive, would also be backed up as well. At $10 a user a month, $10 per computer per month, very affordable price point. And I think you'll find that it is well worth the money, and in terms of just reducing your risk and headache. Well, that does bring us to the end of our presentation today. Let's go ahead and have our final review question, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up. Which of the following companies provide file syncing services and cloud backup? Okay, so file syncing services, file syncing, not system, but file. Okay, is it Carbonite and CrashPlan? Nope. What is it? It's going to be OneDrive, Dropbox, and Google Drive. All of those are great individual file syncing services. You can back up a lot of files, but it's not really kind of intended to back up, for example, your system registry and you know, all the kind of individual tiny teeny application data files that might be present on your computer. So what did we learn today? Well, today we talked about some useful business tools that are available to be more productive, some of the benefits of using different browser extensions like Grammarly and uBlock Origin and LastPass. And we also talked about some different backup methodologies for individual file backup as well as system file backup. In this series, we're looking at the latest and greatest. Coming up, we will have more business tools. We'll probably, for example, dive into some of the individual cloud hosting providers and getting things configured in there. We'll talk about some additional hardware tools that'll be coming out. Really, we're going to try to focus on everything I think you need to know that's not only cool, but hopefully will make you some money, save you a little bit of time, and increase your overall productivity. Now, I do want to remind you, if you're a financial professional, you can earn a CPE credit for listening today, and it is super simple, okay? After watching or listening, head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code HOT2, that is HOT2. You'll take a short five-question quiz, and you will earn a credit for today's class. Great way to stay on top of your education. If you enjoyed today's presentation, you want to hear more like it, please consider following us on social media. We're posting podcasts and courses and tech tips and newsletters and more constantly in almost every service. You can find us at CPE Today. I would also love it if you would consider subscribing and liking to our channels. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and others. We're putting out new content twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific. We're often live when we're presenting these, and it gives you the opportunity not only to watch live, but also to earn credits for listening. And if you can't listen to us live when we're on Facebook and YouTube, you can listen anytime on the platform of your choosing. You can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and more. As always, thank you so much for your time and attention. It's an absolute pleasure being with you, and I look forward to seeing you back in the office the next time around. Thanks. Good luck.